Take your Bibles, please, and turn in them to Nehemiah chapter 9. We are going to be reading from verse 26 through verse 31. And we're going to use 31 as a springboard for our lesson this morning, like last Sunday evening, and something I don't do very often. This will be a topical sermon rather than an exegetical sermon. We're going to use the thoughts in verse 31 to propel us into the topic for this morning. Hear now God's word. But they became disobedient and rebelled against thee, and cast thy law behind their backs, and killed thy prophets who had admonished them so that they might return to thee. And they committed great blasphemies. Therefore thou didst deliver them into the hand of their oppressors who oppressed them. But when they cried to thee in the time of their distress, thou didst hear them from heaven, and according to thy great compassion, thou didst give them deliverers who delivered them from the hand of their oppressors. But as soon as they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore thou didst abandon them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. When they cried again to thee, thou didst hear them from heaven. And many times thou didst rescue them according to thy compassion, and admonish them in order to turn their back to thy law. Yet they acted arrogantly and did not listen to thy commandments, but sinned against thy ordinances, by which if a man observes them, he shall live. And they turned a stubborn shoulder and stiffened their neck and would not listen. However, thou didst bear with them for many years and admonish them by thy spirit through thy prophets, yet they would not give ear. Therefore thou didst give them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, in thy great compassion, thou didst not make an end of them or forsake them. For thou art a gracious and compassionate God. Let's bow in prayer. Father, as we look at the topic of mercy this morning, a topic of your loving kindness, of your compassion, help us to see that attribute in you. And Lord, not just appreciate it, but welcome it, and to see it in our lives and to recognize it. And to be thankful for it, and in our thanks for it, Lord, desire to live in obedience to you. Let us not be like the people of the Old Testament, Lord, who once they received your mercy, then went ahead and returned to their sinful ways. But let your mercy toward us be that which keeps us walking according to your commands, according to your ways. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mercy is not something that is often celebrated in the world, seen with as a great strength. In ancient times, mercy was hard to find. When the Romans would capture a people, they would lead their prisoners back in chains and parade them, and then after parading them, they'd often kill them. Even today, cultures today do not show a lot of mercy. Think of the cruelties that have occurred in the last 100 years. Think of what Hitler did to the Jews. Think of what Pol Pot did to the people in his country. Think of what Stalin did to the inhabitants of the Ukraine. Think of what Mao did in starving to death 30 to 40 million of his people. Mercy is not seen as a strength. Think of what the Islamists and ISIS do to Christians in beheading them, burning them alive, drowning them, and doing all sorts of unimaginable things. But yet, wherever the Bible has been taught, wherever Christendom has been found, mercy is seen as a strength. What's the difference? What is the difference? The difference is this. You see, we see mercy as a strength because it is an attribute of God. It's one of His communicable attributes, ones that we can emulate in our lives, we can copy. So if a man or a woman wants to be someone of true strength, wants to be God, an imitator of God, he should show mercy. But when showing mercy and understanding the mercy of God, do not translate or impose mankind's ideas of mercy onto the person of God or onto God's mercy. And do not speak of God's mercy as if he was not also just, as if his mercy somehow was void of justice. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 22, "Behold the kindness, the mercy, and severity of God." Too often in the world, we see people take their ideas of mercy and transfer them to God, and they wind up with a God with a small g, a God who is nothing like the God of the Bible. They wind up with a God who is like Santa Claus. Too often I've heard people say, "But God is tolerant." I have news for you. God is not tolerant, but He is merciful, and He is always willing to show mercy. And so this morning, we want to do two things. We want to talk about mercy's meaning, and we want to look at mercy's properties. Our love, our worship, our adoration and service of God increases when we see and understand mercy's meaning. The general idea of God's mercy is this: it's the effect of His goodness. It's His goodness in action. It's His goodness with boots on the ground. Just as an automobile engine has power, that power can sit there all day long, but it won't do anything until it's put into gear. Mercy is God's goodness put into gear. It's His generosity to those who don't deserve it, but who are in need of it. And mercy is different than grace. A very simple way to understand the difference is in mercy, we don't get what we deserve, and in grace, we get what we don't deserve. In mercy, God doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, He gives us His goodness. It begins with His will. It's something that He desires to do. Now, in the Old Testament, there are two words for mercy. The first word is, and I want you to write this down now, racham. Got that? Racham. Resh het. Mame. It means compassion, and it belongs to a word group that includes the womb, and is not the womb seen picturesquely as a place of comfort, a place of safety. And when racham is used as a verb, it expresses God's reaction of kindness towards those in need. 2 Kings 13, verse 23, "But the Lord was gracious to them, and He had racham, compassion on them, and He turned to them because of His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." It's what He shows to His people in trouble, what He gives them in time of need. And as a noun, it expresses an emotion of pity. God pities His people. And this is a benefit that we have of belonging to Jehovah. Psalm 103, verse 4 says, it is God who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And here the word compassion or mercy is the plural form of rahim. And what it, why it's in the plural is because of its intensity. You need to understand the intense mercy God feels towards you, his people. Think of that. Every day you receive mercy. It is mercy that gives a covenant person hope for his continued relationship with him. The second word is, and you can write this one down too, chesed. In fact, here's a homework assignment for you. Write this down, H-E-S-E-D. And then either before or after dinner, get on Google and put this in Hebrew and then H-E-S-E-D. And this is one of the things you'll come up with. I did it just this morning. It says, Hesed is difficult to translate because it stands for a cluster of ideas. Love, mercy, grace, kindness. It wraps itself up in all the positive attributes of God. Hesed, now get this, is one of the Lord's most treasured characteristics. One of his most treasured characteristics. You could translate it loyal love. Loyal love. It's his steadfast love. It's his loyalty. It's something he'll never take from you. We find it, and I love the way it's heaped together with other such words in Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. Then the Lord God passed by in front of him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God is compassionate, rahim, and gracious, and slow to anger, and abounding in chesed, loving kindness, loyal goodness and truth. Great ideas found in these words. And in the New Testament, we find this similar kind of idea. Again, there's two words in the New Testament. Translated mercy. Eleos, mercy. It's that word that the beggars would and the lame and the blind and the deaf would cry out, Lord, be merciful to me. And it has the idea of being nice. Lord, be nice to me and heal my lame foot. Lord, be nice to me and cure my kindness. Lord, be good to me. Lord, watch over me. It's actions of mercy. The other word, it means feelings of mercy. Deep feelings. God has deep feelings for you. I'm going to add to your homework assignment. I don't know how many of you have concordances, but you can even find them online. Go home and look up mercy and then start looking at all these, all the times mercy is in the Bible. But look at the adjectives to describe mercy. Boys and girls, you do know what an adjective is, don't you? That's a word that describes another adjective, noun, or adverb. Yeah, okay, you got that? Did you write that down? No, an adjective tells us something about it. Listen to these adjectives found throughout Scripture about God's mercy. It's great. It's rich. It's manifold. I love this word. It's plenteous. It's abundant. It fills the earth. It's sure. It's reliable. It's everlasting. It's tender. It's as high as the heavens, and it's over all its works, and it's new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. And we sing that morning by morning, no mercies I see. Every morning you wake up to a day full of God's mercies. That's what mercy means. And I can only hope that I've been able to express just some of it to you. But now I want you to see some of mercy's properties. Mercy is a magnet. Just as a magnet draws iron to itself, mercy should draw you close to God. Or do you think, says Paul in Romans 2:4, lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness, the mercy, it's just kindness is just a synonym for mercy. The kindness of God leads you to repentance. When you are tempted to sin, think of God's kindness and let that draw you back to him. Mercy is a delight. God delights to show mercy. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but God delights to show mercy. It makes him happy. But don't shun his mercy. Don't shun his mercy. If you shun his mercy, you will receive his discipline. You will receive his discipline. Lamentations 3:33. For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men. He does not want to bring judgment. So don't spur his mercy. One of my favorite Puritans is Thomas Watson. He's written a couple of books, or you can find a couple of his books. One is on the Lord's Supper, and the other one is called A Body of Divinity. It's basically a systematic theology. And in his body of divinity, he says, like a bee that naturally gives honey, but only stings when provoked, so God naturally pours forth mercy, but brings judgment when angered. But then he says this, mercy is God's right hand that he is most used to, that he likes to use, that he uses all the time. Inflicting punishment is a strange work. So be drawn to God. Seek out the honey of his mercy. Mercy is universal. It's found everywhere in all times. You can't go anywhere on this planet and not be a recipient of God's mercy. Mercy is that which sweetens God's attributes. It's the frosting on the cake. It sends God's power to help us. He helps us because he is merciful. He makes God's justice our friend. Mercy is free. You can't buy God's mercy. You can't earn it. You don't have the right to it. Mercy is infinite. It's unending. You can't wear it out. God will never look down at you and say, that's it, and I'm at the end of my rope. As a parent might say to a child, that's it, I've had it with you. No more mercy. God will never do that. Never do that. You can't wear it out. There's no end to it. It's a well without a bottom. You can draw from God's mercy continually all day long, and it will never stop producing. And even when you think you've done your worst, even when you think that that's it, God has enough mercy for you. It won't run dry. Mercy is eternal. It's indestructible. Can't wear it down, can't use it up, can't change it, you can't harm it, you can't remove it. It's permanent. It's immutable, it does not change. He won't be merciful to you one way today and another way tomorrow. And if you want to see the greatest emblem, the greatest sign of God's mercy in your life, look at the cross. Look at the cross. Look at the incarnation. Look at the one who became a man, who took upon himself the form of a slave and laid aside all his privileges of divinity and became obedient, even to, obedient to death on the cross, who lived under the law, who obeyed the law for you so that you wouldn't have to receive the penalty of the law. Look at the one who took the wrath of God for those who believe. Look at the one who then, whose life could not be kept in the grave, but rose again and ascended to heaven. Look at the one who lives for you, who is at the right hand of God making intercession for you. Look at the one who watches over you and cares for you. Look at Jesus Christ. And every day as you look at him, you will find God's mercy. Mercy is not a weakness. You understand, only the strong can show mercy. Weak don't show mercy. Weak need mercy. Weak need mercy. Mercy is a great strength. It's one of God's finest and greatest qualities, attributes. So, people of God, if you have tasted the mercies of God, share that with others. Look at the mercies each and every day. As you end the day, look back on your life and count the times that you can say, yes, God was merciful to me at that moment. God watched over me and he cared for me here. If you have tasted the mercies of God, then respond to God in loving obedience. Why should you obey God? Well, in part, it's your duty, and being a former military man and all that, I like the idea of doing your duty. But the greatest motivation shouldn't be rise out of doing your duty. It should be motivated for love because of what God has done for you and being merciful to you. And if God has been merciful to you, then show mercy to others. Sometimes that's not easy. You're in traffic and somebody does something that irks you and then wants to get in front of you. You let them get in front of you. Show mercy to others. Show mercy even to the people that you may not particularly like, care for. But be sure that you sit under God's mercy, not his judgment. Be sure that you have given yourself to the one who is merciful, our great triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. O merciful God, we rejoice We rejoice in the fact that you are merciful and that you show your goodness and your kindness to us. Father, let us never take your mercy for granted. Let us, Lord, open our eyes that we may see your mercy each and every day of our lives, each and every moment of our lives. And like the publican, Lord, we ought to pound our breasts and say, oh, Lord, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And yet, Lord, know that you are and will be, and your mercy will abide with us infinitely and eternally through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, whose name we pray. Amen.